This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Put kids first. We hear this term a lot, but so many times children are left out of the equation when it comes to implementing legislation that actually impacts children and families. A new bipartisan nonprofit organization is aiming to change that. The group, Idaho Children Are Primary, is made up of business leaders, educators, doctors, and other child experts from both sides of the political aisle, with the goal to make Idaho better for children. Joining us today to talk more are Idaho Children Are Primary board members, Dr. John Rushi and Trent Clark. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma.
So I'd like to begin by how this group actually came into existence.
Trent, you want to do that?
Sure. I would argue it actually was forced into existence because our politics has kind of become very polarized, and especially has become the politics of special interests. And there was just a general consensus among many of us who work on a regular basis to improve the lot of children. I myself am a father of four, and also I hire people, and I can very clearly tell among the employees that I hire where they've had good support coming up as kids, and then most of my problem employees are people who've had difficult childhoods. And so I speak for the business community when I say it's important that we prioritize our kids, and unfortunately in this very highly polarized political environment, there just was no voice out there that was saying, wait, you need to pause and consider the effect that your actions in the legislature have on kids. And so this group came together primarily because of the neglect that had occurred. People like Dr. Rushi, who has a long record of being an advocate for kids' issues. We have a good number of pediatricians who are on our board, and other child advocates, educators, and people who see what happens when you have pro-kid policies versus if you ignore the needs of kids in policy. So that it was a kind of a natural coming together created by, unfortunately, a period of time where kids' issues were neglected.
So can you also tell us then what some of the first steps are that you've taken? I mean, one thing we know is that you went around and you introduced your group to the legislature back in May.
Yes, introduced ourselves to the legislature and also provided analysis on some of the legislation they were considering and tried to provide for them some expert and data-driven information on what the effects of those bills were. I mean, our mission is to provide analysis on policy affecting children, to provide data and evidence on areas of health, education, welfare, and economic security, and how that affects children, to communicate to the policymakers, as well as the citizens, and to challenge candidates and legislators to talk about the solutions for the problems that families and kids are facing. There's lots of interest organizations, everything from very conservative organizations to water users to Conservation League. They all have a specific target area, but there is nobody who says, this is what this means to families with kids, to the kids themselves, and to the business community that's going to have to absorb those employees in the future.
And you know what I found interesting was that when you did introduce your group to the legislators, you also included their voting records in regards to children. So I'm curious about what you found when you did that, but also how did the legislators react to, you know, to having those votes right there in front of them?
Well, as I saw it, that there was really a lot of understanding about how the issues we selected, the bills we selected, affected kids, and there was actually fairly good support. More than two-thirds of the legislators supported the what we believe to be the appropriate position on these issues at least half of the time. So, you know, that's not bad, but they're also, to my mind, pretty much cut and dried issues. And the fact that there were sometimes as many as over a third of the legislators who were affected with other things rather than the welfare of children. Our question has always been, is this policy, is this bill good for Idaho kids? And that's the only question we ask. It isn't, is it conservative? Is it liberal? Is it good for kids? That's the only question we ask. And I think that some were surprised that people were actually looking and recording it. But
right.
I was surprised when, I was in the legislature for 12 years, but I was kind of surprised at how supportive overall the legislature is.
Oh, right. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say one of the results is I've had legislators contact me saying, oh, I thought I was voting pro-kid. And my answer has been, well, for some reason, what you think is pro-kid and what a majority of the pediatricians who are on our board have a disconnect there. And that right there has been productive, because if pediatricians are seeing something different from what a legislator is seeing, and I use vaccination, for example, some of the people who voted anti-vaccine were doing so thinking that they were being pro-kid. And it was helpful for me to say, you need to talk with local pediatricians, because the policy needs to be, as Dr. Rusi said, it needs to be data-driven, built in science. And if you're going to stand up and tell your constituents, I'm voting pro-kid, you need to know whether or not pediatricians are going to stand up and say, yeah, but you're mm-hmm. misinformed or you have bad information. And that dialogue has already started in a number of cases where legislators called and said, I thought I was voting pro-kid, and I was able to connect them with pediatricians who were able to explain, no, that position is not really pro-kid.
So I'm curious from both of you, then I think you bring up a good point about saying, you know, legislators are saying, I thought I was doing what was right for children, you know, and you say, well, then, you know, talk to pediatricians, talk to the health experts, right? Well, just yesterday, Representative Thane, State Representative Thane, said that we should not be listening to experts because it's elitist if we listen to health experts. And I mean, and he was talking in regards, you know, to the pandemic. However, how do you make progress when you literally have a state representative who says listening to health experts is elitist?
Well, unfortunately, Steve's or Senator Thane's attitude is not singular to him in the legislature. And all I can say is you do what you can to bring forward accurate data, expert analysis, and try and help them make the right decision. That's what we're trying to do, is help them make the right decision. But in the situation where it doesn't occur, their constituents should know that at least on the issue that was analyzed, the bill that was being evaluated, that their legislator chose not to listen to experts and the best available data, and chose to make his decision on another basis. And perhaps they should ask him, what were you thinking? Why did you vote that way? That's the whole purpose. It isn't to embarrass. It's just to help provide a basis of information, and then to allow the conversation with the constituents who they should be serving to go forward.
Well, and look, I talk to our pediatrician about my children, right? I mean, and I take my pediatrician's advice. He went to medical school. He's the expert, not me. And I would say, I mean, Trent, that goes back to the point that you made in the beginning of this conversation about being forced into having to put this new organization together in order to make sure that we make the right choices for children in this state.
Yes. I, by the way, know Senator Thain extremely well and have really actually pretty good respect for him. And so when I hear you report what he said, I have to interpret that as he's pointing out like we are facing right now with the return to school issue. You can't just rely on the children's health expert because you have questions like, what about the teacher's health? What about the people at home? I mean, the kids themselves might be resilient, but what about a grandparent who's living in the kid's home? And so there is a role for policymakers to listen. I do agree. They need to listen to the health experts, but so many of our policies take one area of discipline and counterweigh it against another area of discipline. So I would point out that we do not require infants to wear seatbelts on airplanes, but that had nothing to do with the physics of whether a restrained child can survive an airplane crash. It had to do with the economics of what happens to families traveling if you force them to buy an extra seat for an infant child. They end up driving, and they actually put the child at greater risk driving a long distance than if they were flying on someone's lap. And so that particular issue, what was good for kids, required that you listen to multiple different experts and then weigh them together. And that's what we're hoping these policymakers will do, is listen to the various experts and then weigh them with the ultimate goal of, let's net do what is best for kids.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dr. Rushi.
Yes, I just want to point out that our group, the Idaho Children Are Primary, is not a pediatrician's group. It has children's physicians,
right?
But it also has educators, it has mental health experts, it has business experts, and people like Ms. Kipthorne and myself, who've actually been in the process of policy. So, you know, we try, as we do analysis of issues, we try to bring in a legislator has to represent his district. But I don't know that very many districts or very many constituents want to have their legislator make a decision that's harmful to children or families. Mm-hmm. They want them to know what the data and information is, and if they can't follow it, be able to explain why that's not the right position with this particular vote. That's just logic. That's just simple common sense. And so we're going to try and help them understand what the data and the expert analysis is. They can choose to ignore it, but they ought to be able to explain why they're ignoring it.
That's a really good point. And before I let the two of you go, so what is up on the agenda when we go into this next legislative session? Are there particular issues that you want to focus on within your organization? Or is it more, as you said, just making sure that our lawmakers have the right information?
Well, my understanding, and we're a pretty new organization, is that we are going to be available to provide the analysis and data on evidence on practices and effects as called upon, and for particular bills or policies that come up before us. We don't have a set agenda other than to help people understand what's good for kids. Always ask the question, is this policy good for Idaho's children? And that's our only agenda, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So mostly I think we'll be kind of reacting to what's thrown out there in the public sphere.
But you know what? What a great question to ask. Is this good for children. I want to thank both of you for taking some time out of your day to talk to us about this new nonprofit, Bipartisan, by the way. We've been talking with Idaho Children of Primary Board members, Dr. John Rushi and Trent Clark. Thank you for your time, both of you.
Well, thank you for allowing us to talk with you.
Absolutely. More Idaho.